Well, school is back in session, but that does not mean that all Colorado school sports will be happening. With the rising conflict in schools and with school sports parents in particular, we have a severe shortage of sports officials who are willing to be, in some cases, berated, yelled at, or cussed out for a very small amount of pay. And it turns out that for some parents, it's not for the love of the game anymore. So school bullying, are parents the problem? And the difficulties that happen in youth sports programs that are supposed to be all about the kids, sometimes it becomes about the parents. And during this latest installment of our quarterly conflict resolution call-in series here on KGNU, we're going to look at the conflicts that sometimes occur from the sidelines and the interactions between referees and parents, parents and parents, parents and coaches. There's a lot of potential, and I think anybody who's ever had a kid in youth sports has seen it. There's a lot of potential for conflict, and it appears to be causing, or at least one cause, of the shortage of referees and game officials who don't want to put up with the abuse for the low pay. That's our topic this morning. I'm Sam Fuqua, co-host of this quarterly series on conflict resolution topics. As always, joined by former State Senator Linda Newell. Linda, it's great to see you in person.
It's finally great to see you in person, Sam.
Back in the studio. We're glad you're here. And of course, this is a call-in show. We will open up the phones on this topic in just a few minutes. But joining us by phone today is Dr. Brittany Greert, a licensed psychologist and nationally certified school psychologist from Denver. She's president of the Colorado Society of School Psychologists. Welcome to KGNU. Make sure we've got you there on the phone, Dr. Greert.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
It is Greert.
Greert. Okay, great. Well, welcome, and we're so pleased to have you. And in studio, we're very excited to have Michael Book, the Assistant Commissioner at the Colorado High School School Activities Association, or CHASA as it's known. He is in charge of all the school sports officials across the state, among many other duties. He also has been a teacher, a coach, an athletic director, an assistant principal, and most recently a middle and high school principal. So a lot of time dealing with helping support youth sports, but also dealing with some of these conflicts, Mike.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you here. Well, Linda, let's get started in the discussion.
Sure, absolutely. Well, if you don't mind, Mike, I'll start with you. Can you present what the challenges are that you are facing and how this has come about?
You bet. So I guess the challenge is that we have so many games and so few officials that we can't cover the games on certain nights, especially. Friday nights are very difficult in the fall, and so we're trying to figure out how we can get more officials and keep more officials. But really, the number one issue is the sporting behavior from fans, and that has driven officials away from refereeing.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us any examples of that, of those behaviors?
Well, I mean, we have obviously the social media and stuff like that we see, fans attacking referees, either going to the locker room after the game, during the game, on their way to their vehicles, that kind of thing. And we see those as extreme situations, but it's becoming more and more frequent. Just on a nightly basis, I think the kind of attitude of going into a sporting event is I pay my money, I can say what I want. And as officials, we try to strive to be perfect, for the kids. That's why we're there. We want to make sure that the contest is regulated by rule, and that's why we're there. And for whatever reason, it seems that a lot of people know a lot more than the officials do, and they're vocal about that.
Mm. Well, in some cases, one way of thinking about this is like, 'twas ever thus, right? This is the way fans are, right? Whether you're yelling at the TV about a call or yelling from the sidelines. But a youth sport official doesn't make a lot of money, right? Typically, it's someone who just loves the game, wants to help out.
Yeah.
And how much do they make about?
Depends on the sport, but we're probably in the $65 neighborhood for a varsity contest, 65 to 70.
So you're going to get 65, 70 bucks and be subject to some verbal abuse at least.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And we see that all the time in, you know, college and pro sports. We see that's kind of part of the culture. But in high school sports and youth sports, that is not part of the culture.
Hmm. And maybe we can bring Dr. Brittany Greert into the conversation. What is going on from a psychologist's perspective?
Sure. Yeah, I think that right now, you know, we are in a time where there's a lot of emphasis on winning and losing. And it's a shame because there's so many psychological benefits for youth participating in sports. And so when the focus shifts from, I'm glad my child's participating, they're learning a lot of things about being a good teammate and recovering from disappointment and working together, and it shifts to, you know, winning or losing and the anger that comes from that, I think it's just really disappointing that youth sports is shifting to be such a I'm going to win or I'm going to lose versus all the benefits that are built in naturally to playing sports.
Can you say a little more about why you think this has become a bigger problem? I mean, if I think about when I played Little League Baseball, which is a really long time ago, you know, there were dads typically who might yell at the ump because they didn't like the call. But as I said, it seems like it's always been kind of an issue. Why is it getting worse in your view? Why is Mike having so much trouble recruiting folks to officiate? Say more about that.
Yeah, I think it's a multifaceted issue. I think right now in the last 5-ish years, just as a society, having disagreements, I don't think there's not been a lot of healthy discussion about disagreeing with somebody. And especially, you know, we just emerged from a pandemic where a lot of our communication was virtual or online, where there's a lot more freedom to say things you might not say directly to someone's face. You kind of get to do that through a shroud of anonymity. And at least with kids at schools right now, we're seeing a lot of difficulty remembering some of the social norms that we had before we went into the pandemic and how do we deal with conflict. And I think the same's true for adults. We've had a political climate where there's been a lot of really strong opinions that are met with disparaging remarks and not healthy conversation. And I think that it's becoming more and more normalized to kind of lash out versus have healthy, constructive conversations. So I think it's multifaceted, the reasons why we're seeing this behavior happening in sports, and not just in sports, but in lots of other facets of society. But a big piece, I think, is the social media component and not a lot of good modeling of healthy conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm. Mike, so you've been doing this a long time, based on your bio. So you have seen probably trends, ups and downs. What kinds of, speaking of what Dr. Greert was just saying with, you know, could it be from we're trying to re-socialize? Could that be part of it? Could the political divisiveness, could other kinds of social conflicts be contributing to this? But have you seen trends? I mean, clearly, we haven't been in this position before from a CHASA standpoint, right? From the shortage. So what have you seen out there, and what does CHASA think?
Well, I think we've kind of been on this decline with officials shortage for quite a while. We have more and more schools opening every year because of the growth in Colorado, and then with the decline in officials, that gap has just gotten much bigger, and we're at the point where we've got to do something fairly drastic to get that caught back up. I think certainly it's been more pronounced certainly in the last couple of years as far as behavior, but it's kind of been around for a long time. Kind of the other reason I think that we have such turnover in the athletic director world, every year is more and more. We had over 90 new athletic directors this year at the beginning of the year, and that's a huge number for Colorado. And so to take new athletic directors and be able to train them and say, you know, this is how you run an event, this is how you handle behavior, this is really your job at the event, gets kind of lost in everything else that they have to do to get prepared for a year.
Mm-hmm. And do you see the behavior, is it mostly parents or is it all family members, or and has it also bled into, but has it seeped into the kids' behaviors as well, because you've also taught? So mm-hmm. Do you see the kids' behavior mirroring the parents' behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we encourage, from the school world, we encourage student sections and the camaraderie that a student section can present at an event. It can be very positive and very good, but it can also get out of control very quickly in some of the chants and things that students are willing to put out there. And so as the administration of the game management, we have to be able to shut those kind of negative things down before it gets to a point. You know, I would always tell my kids, you know, in the school system, we're kind of a one-up society. And when somebody says something, somebody wants to one-up them and outdo them. And so that's the same in a crowd behavior. And so that kind of needs to be shut down as quickly as possible.
Now, on that athletic director turnover, is that connected to this issue at all? Because the AD is going to take some of this same abuse potentially.
I don't think that the abuse is connected to that so much. I think the frustration of scheduling and the athletic director job is also normally combined with the assistant principal job. And so the amount of duties for both of those combined into one person is extremely difficult. And I think they get burned out very quickly. And so I think it all kind of works together to create a storm.
We're talking about youth sports and conflicts within youth sports, the difficulty that Colorado High School Athletic Association is having in recruiting referees for games, and the feedback that Mike Book, who is the assistant commissioner at CHASA, is receiving from those officials is that it's not worth it because of the, in many cases, the abuse from the sidelines coming from disgruntled parents. We're opening up the phones now. If you have a question or comment, maybe you have a story to share about this issue, 303-442-4242 is the number, 303-442-4242. We invite you to join our conversation. Are there cases, Mike Book, where law enforcement is asked to be present at games because of this issue when we're going to the worst case scenarios?
Sure. Sure. Many schools already have a law enforcement presence, but then also kind of in the smaller school world, they are asked to come and help patrol that for sure.
And Dr. Greyert, have you seen this behavior in both, because as a school psychologist, I know that you do the assessments with the kids, but you work with the parents, of course, with the kids. And so have you seen this also seep into other areas of the schools as well?
I think that in general, yeah, we've seen a lot more bullying happening, and Yes, we work a lot with the parents. There are a lot of fantastic parents, and we try really hard to build community relationships and get parent voice when we're talking about school policies or behavior at after-school events, and really trying to have it feel like the school and the community and families are all partnering really closely. But there's been a lot of interruptions in the last few years. There's been a lot of sports teams that haven't been able to play due to the pandemic or staffing shortages. The school I work at right now, we have no one to drive our activities bus. So our kids that don't have a ride home from school, I work at a preschool through eighth grade, so not high school, but a lot of our kids can't even play sports right now because they don't have a way to get home because we don't have a driver for the activities bus. So I think that there's just growing frustration from every side, from the school provider's side, you know, to the point that a lot of times athletic directors are a school dean or an assistant principal, and you're already dealing with this, you know, 22 staff could be out for one day. There's no substitutes to cover. You might be covering classes all day. And then you also need to coordinate an athletic schedule and make sure kids are having a really enriched experience after school. And I think frustration seeps in from the community side, from the school side, and from the kids' side. I think kids really miss having their sports seasons as they typically were before the pandemic and before we had all these staffing shortages. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of impact.
That's Dr. Brittany Grier, a licensed school psychologist, one of our guests this morning, along with Michael Book, assistant commissioner at the Colorado High School School Activities Association, CHASA. And let's take a couple calls. This is David in Boulder. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Sam. This is just one of the most productive things that I see happening on the planet, besides KGNU in general, but your beautiful conflict resolution program. And I want to thank the guests. And I was the victim, of course, last night as we had one teenage ref at a JV soccer game here in Boulder. And, of course, you know, we had really scored, and they just missed at the, you know, you couldn't see over the line, the one excellent ref. He was a great ref, but he couldn't see that we really had scored. We ended up 2-1, so it was okay. But I reflect on this issue all the time and how another parent once just really upset yelling at the refs, and I said, hey, you know, give it a break. They're doing the best that we can. Let's support them. And he said, what do you mean, you communist? Anyway, this just brings me to the point of the deeper brokenness of our society. You know, there's, of course, cars and the way we allocate, put people, segregate them by income is part of the polarization of our society and lack of, you know, the loss of understanding that we're all together in this. And I just am wondering if our two guests, I'm not asking them to solve the land use or the transportation crisis, although that would help if they would. But I'm wondering if we can extend, if what they think about extending, you know, this kind of training you're giving and the kind of, you know, conflict resolution, the magic of conflict, et cetera, kind of training, you know, to our kids and to our parents. It's just a beautiful thing. We all grow. We all evolve. We get to know each other through that, and it helps us in every aspect of our lives. And I just think about, you know, one son has played ultimate and rugby as well. And the culture in those sports, especially ultimate, where they sit down afterwards and give each other awards and talk to each other, you know, that's a beautiful thing. Rugby has a great camaraderie. So I'm just wondering about a few things our guests might say about, you know, bringing these opportunities for learning and evolution into our sports teams, where I think folks are really receptive. So it'd be a good start, but I'm just wondering if you could highlight some of those things that we can help support, help you all support in the sporting.
Yeah, we'll put that to both our guests. Thanks, David, for your call. And I was thinking along a similar line, Mike Book. Let's start with what, if any, training you have the resources to provide to your officials, the folks who do step up to referee these games for a nominal amount of money. Do they get any training in, like, here's how to handle an angry parent?
Yeah, so every officials association kind of works differently, but officials have tools to be able to mitigate, especially on the field, coaches and that kind of thing. We also have tools to mitigate crowd behavior, but really that goes to, we're responsible for what happens on the court or on the field. And so when there's issues in the crowd, then the official then accesses the administration or the game management to say, please deal with that situation so we can continue on the court. But that, there are tools to do that.
Yeah. And then Dr. Brittany Greer, what about conflict resolution training of any sort for kids and for their parents? My limited knowledge of schools in Colorado says that there are resources and training available, but it varies greatly from district to district and even from school to school.
Yes, you're right on the difference of resources, but pretty much every school district has a mental health team, whether it's school psychologists, school counselors, school social workers. And a lot of the work in schools that's already happening is teaching these skills to kids and embedding it into their classroom. So this is how I solve a problem with a peer. I mean, that's a lot of my job, is conflict resolution with kids who are, you know, struggling with a myriad of issues that affect our teens and youth today. I really love the idea of incorporating a family component, like offering some after school groups that we invite families to be a part of, to be a part of that conversation, just because we know kids learn so much from watching the behavior of parents. So modeling that, I think, is a really fantastic way to further embed these skills, and not even just specific to behavior in sports in general, but just how do we get over conflict? And I think because a lot of these lessons are already happening in the classroom, it's not a huge leap or stretch to be able to, for a lot of school districts, to be able to think creatively about how could we offer that after school or before school, or engage our parents in these conversations.
Thank you for that. We've got a couple more callers, and Mike from Longmont, you're going to be next. But first, we want to go to this caller who, it says here, prefers to remain anonymous because you're a local coach in the area.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's you. Go ahead.
Me on, Sam.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, just two comments. One, not only a problem at the high school level, but also a problem at the university level throughout Colorado, and conferences, you know, that are based here, or schools that are based here in Colorado, and conferences that spread out to adjoining states. So not just pinpointed to high schools for sure. And on a positive note, I know one of the local conferences here in the area is advocating and going around to different teams from, you know, the conferences here, and advocating for current players that are, you know, about to graduate to get involved in refereeing. And I think it's positive in the sense that these players, you know, have played for a number of years, high school, club, and now university level. And so they know the game, and I think it's a positive step and kind of a positive solution that they're advocating for, kind of a grassroots level, to get current graduates and younger people involved in refereeing.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And I think that is one of our biggest strategies to solution. And because right now we have so many people leaving, retiring or just getting out of the profession, and we're not supplying the beginning of the pipeline to rebuild that. And I couldn't agree more that to be able to get to our university kids, even our high school kids, and get some curriculum into teaching officiating into the PE classes or wherever that may be, I think that is certainly an avenue that we have to attack and welcome.
We're talking about conflicts in youth sports, particularly with parents, and parents getting into it with referees, and the referee shortage in high school sports that results, at least in part, from the potential officials not wanting to take abuse from the parents. This is our quarterly series of conflict resolution call-in programs on listener-supported KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins, where it's 9 o'clock. Thanks for that call, and let's go back to the phones now. This is Mike from Longmont. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. Great topic. Love to hear you talking about it. I've made an observation of this, this two-year-old tantrum type behavior almost being cultivated through the professional sports, where you have a little son looking up to his father, the father looking up to the coach getting a bad call and then making a temper tantrum because he wants to get his way, and even the players. And I would love to see some kind of effort on just nipping that in the bud on the professional level, and the owners, the wives and moms of these kids and husbands just saying that, that, you know, those kind of outbursts are, have no place in, you know, in any athletics. And then to the people who are also, you know, stepping up to coaching these games, don't let that anger take control if you can, you know, if you can really just, stick to the game, not be, try to ignore that stuff. I work construction, and it's, I can't wear my feelings on my shirt sleeve. It's just something I would try to encourage. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for that call and those observations. And, we look to the professionals, for better or for worse. We look up to the professionals and, look to them for leadership on the issue, and don't always see it.
I love that, Mike, because I think what we really have to name here is we've got levels of problems that we're talking about today. We're talking about not only levels of where this is happening in the schools, at the university levels, at the professional level, and we are looking at societally, all of us are looking at these role models, and then that has also seeped into our parents. And so now we're looking at professional coaches possibly doing this. We're looking at our own parents possibly doing this. I'm a young kid, so I'm thinking, of course, and this is how I'm supposed to behave. So I think that's really important to name. And also what Dr. Greyert was saying about we're coming out of all of these stressors of the pandemic, of the political divide in this country. And so I think that now we need to figure this out, now that we're here. So just from a CHASA level, I'll ask you this, Mike Book. What is CHASA doing now to not only recruit and to find more officials, but what are you doing now to address the conflict issue? Are there messages that are being going out to parents? Can they get banned from games themselves? So what are things that CHASA has been doing?
Sure. Well, we've had this conversation for a long time about how can we mitigate this issue. And I'm new enough. I've been on the job for about a month and a half, and so I don't have anything concrete in place yet, other than trying to get the word out that we need officials. We're going to take care of officials. We've got your back, kind of thing. And then from this point forward is putting some strategies into place on how can we help athletic directors be trained with game management and addressing those kind of things. And it's kind of interesting when we talk about the coaching world. I coached for 15 years before I started refereeing. And so when I started out coaching, that was what I knew, is that you kind of rode the officials to try to get a call here and there or whatever. And I quickly learned that if I don't coach perfectly in a game, and if my kids don't play perfectly in a game, then I can't say anything, because I'm the one I've got to control my situation. And officials are in the same boat. We're not going to make a perfect game. We're not going to call a perfect game ever, but we're going to do the best that we can, and we're going to understand, you know, that what we're there for is to make sure the kids have a fair experience, be fair on both sides. And so I think that kind of understanding that, because crowds and kids react to how a coach reacts. And so if a coach is very dramatic about certain whistles and that kind of thing, then kids get that way, and then crowds get that way. And so, you know, it's a big ask to coaches, but coach your kids, let the referees referee, and parents and spectators be positive and celebrate your kids and team success, not the negatives that come along with it.
Well, that is, but you bring up a really interesting, you know, aspect of that. If working the refs, as it's called, is an aspect mm-hmm. of the game, which you certainly see it, NBA and other sports at the highest levels, are we embedding a kind of encouragement of conflict into the game?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think in my thinking, this is me individually as a referee, that's kind of old school, in that I've never had a coach, because of the way that they're talking to me or trying to influence me, I've never changed a call. I've never been influenced on a call. And so I think that, to me, that's kind of an old school thing, and we need to focus on what our kids doing and executing what we're trying to teach our kids and that kind of thing, versus trying to influence one call here or there.
That's Mike Book, who's the assistant commissioner at CHASA, the Colorado High School Activities Association. Also with us, Dr. Brittany Griert, school psychologist, president of the Colorado Society of School Psychologists. We're talking about youth sports and the adult conflicts that are manifesting within youth sports. Phone number is 303-442-4242. That's 303-442-4242. We invite you to join our conversation, ask a question, share a story from your experience. The phone lines are open for about the next 20 minutes or so. 303-442-4242. Linda?
Thank you. So, Dr. Griert, I wanted to ask you this, because I think Mike really did a great job of showing that societally, we are looking at trying to be winners always, and we're also trying to be perfect always. And so in school psychology that you deal with, how do you go about helping with students in particular, and probably their families that you sometimes work with, get over, not you, how do you get over it, but how do you deal with that? Because it's the water we swim in. It is the water we swim in. You've got to be perfect and you've got to be a winner.
Yeah, that is definitely something that we're seeing more and more kids struggle with, that perfectionism element and the really intense anxiety that can come from that. And even more than anxiety, I mean, Colorado has one of the highest youth suicide rates nationally. So these feelings of I need to be perfect, I need to be good enough, are sometimes life or death. So it is really important that we address these feelings and work with families and connect kids to resources to work through these feelings. So trying to develop some coping strategies for when you're overwhelmed or when you need to do something that there's not a winner or a loser, you're doing it because it makes you feel good and it helps you confirm the identity you have of yourself, are really good ways to try to combat some of those feelings. I think a positive outcome of the last few years is I think that as a society, we've gotten more comfortable talking about mental health and the importance of mental health and wellness. So I think that slowly we're shifting the stigma so that, hey, it's okay to say I need some help with something, or it's okay to say something's really hard for me right now. And I think one of the biggest things is, do kids have a safe person or a safe place they can go to? It could be a parent at home, a sibling, an aunt, another caregiver, a coach, a teacher, a school psychologist. You know, there's a huge list of adults that have these really meaningful, impactful relationships with kids. And are we connecting with kids in a way that they feel like they can talk through some of those really deep, authentic feelings without feeling that pressure of, I'm going to be a failure if I say this. So I think fostering those relationships is truly one of the biggest things we can do to help kids. And again, that is a role that an adult in schools, in families, in the community, in athletics, all can model for their kids to help combat these feelings.
We're at 303-442-4242 if you'd like to join our conversation. And because on these quarterly conflict resolution programs, we try to give practical tips to folks, let me put out a scenario. And Brittany, Greert, you can take this first, but Linda or Mike, feel free to weigh in. And so this comes from, you know, when our younger son years ago was playing youth soccer, and a man I presume to be, well, I know to be the dad on an opposing team was just so angry throughout much of the game. And then I think his son got a yellow card or something, and he laid into the ref from the sideline to the point where the boy came over and said, "Dad," you know, the boy was embarrassed. It was painful to see. And then another gentleman from that, a parent, I assume, from the opposing team, went over and talked to the guy, and the guy seemed to contain himself the rest of the game. And I wasn't close enough to know what that other parent was saying, but I sure appreciated the intervention. If we find ourselves in that scenario as a parent, and there's a parent who we believe is behaving inappropriately towards the officials, or worst case scenario, towards kids from the other team, what can we or should we do? Because of course we, you know, we're reluctant to intervene. So I'll start with the school psychologist with that, to that question. What do you think?
Sure. So I think one of the first things sports organizations can do is have really clear policies in place of what is our acceptable ethical behavior, and really spell that out. Because sometimes parents really might not know kind of what's permitted or not permitted, and how different cultures engage in sports, and participation can really vary. So having this living, breathing document that the players, the parents, the coaches are talking about updating, that really spells out some of those things, I think is a good clear level playing field of like, okay, I'm a spectator and I can see the behavior I'm witnessing is not something that we agreed is healthy or supportive in this sports league. To kind of give that initial, I want to go over and say something, but what do I do? What are my next steps? So I think having some agreed upon rules and of ethical behavior is a great first step. And then I think that's just a beautiful example you gave of adults modeling appropriate ways to handle with conflict, right? Like you went over, there was a private conversation had. I mean, I think that that takes a lot of courage in a public scenario, and maybe not everyone's comfortable with that direct conflict resolution. But yeah, modeling that behavior and having some clear guidelines to fall back on, I think is very supportive.
Yeah, I think, and just to continue with that, I think having those expectations, but also then enforcing when needed. I think we a lot of times have all of that. We've met with parents, you know, in a parent meeting prior to a season, and we've laid that out. But when it comes down to it, we witness it or whatever, we're just not taking the action to say, you know, go talk to that parent and shut that down. And, or if it continues, then removing that spectator from the contest. So I think that those speak very loudly when somebody's removed from a contest because of their actions. And I just don't think that we do that enough. That's one of the tools that are in place that we have to use. And I think that as a crowd, that's awesome that somebody is willing to say, hey, that's not how we treat people. Because in my mind, the kids are the ones that are practicing and committing to the work, and the coaches putting in that work for the contest. It's not about the parents. It's about the kids playing and competing against each other and with each other. And so I think that's something that we need to make sure that we keep in mind.
We're at 303-442-4242. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's hear from Lynn now. Hi, Lynn. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I think the actual solution to this problem is to not have sports, spectator sports, period. I'm very opposed to them myself. But I actually heard something in the conversation that was kind of concerning, and that is they were talking about whistles and how everyone might have a concern about which kind of whistle they get used, and that there's kind of this groupthink thing that goes on. And that's what actually the groupthink and the collaboration against the other is what causes the polarization. And it reflects itself in our entire community through kids within the sports arena. And this is exhibited by the fact that Dick Tharp, a council for CU, had a deal with Flatirons Gravel, adding $5 million as a gift to Flatirons Gravel so that the city of Boulder couldn't buy it. And now we have this huge community debate about buying something that we should have been able to buy.
Well, thanks for that call, Lynn, and interesting connection that was made there. We're at 303-442-4242, heading into the final 10-15 minutes of the program. If you'd like to participate, again, the number is 303-442-4242.
Thank you. So, Mike Book, a question. Dr. Greyer had mentioned this policy, and you've seen it at many levels. You've been at the school level, you've been at the association level, at the ref level. So what policies do schools or the association, what policies do they have in place now? Can you say that the enforcement isn't there? What can you do to enforce that enforcement as an association?
Well, I think we just have to give the game administration the backing and the go ahead to say this is not okay, and we have to make sure that we don't accept that kind of behavior, and so we need to do whatever we need to do to stop that behavior. I think that's always been in place, and it varies by school what their policies are. But going even further, there are states now enacting some behavior things that, for example, Texas is enacting a three strike rule, in that if they get three behavior complaints from a school, then they'll step in and say, correct it, or we're going to pull officials from all sports until it's corrected. So states are now stepping up and saying, we know that this is the problem with behavior, the number one problem. And so I can see a lot of states trying to follow some more major things other than just the policies that are in place now.
So they put that on the school?
They put it on the school, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, you mean putting it on the school, and you mean enforcing it, that the three strikes. So now you've got the overburdened athletic directors having one more thing to deal with. And so what can we do, Dr. Greyer, from a parent perspective at the schools? Can there be the conflict resolution training available? If so, will these people even go? I mean, these are usually the people who don't show up at the conflict, in my experience, don't show up at the training. So are the kids ever taken out? Are the not only the parents removed from being able to be at the game, but then are the kids taken out of play? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the solutions are.
Oh, Dr. Greer's dog is agitated.
My dog is, somebody knocked on our door. I heard most of your question. There was some cutting out, but my understanding is, how do we make sure we can enforce these ethical behavior standards when we already have very overburdened school staff that are trying, we're having a hard time hiring people as it is. Is that correct in what I understood your question to be?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that it's really important that communities talk. So having places where kids and the parents and the school can come together. So it's not just, well, this is the school's policy and we're pushing it out. But it's really a conversation, and creative solutions might look different community to community. Yes, I think it's really reasonable to advocate as parents to say, we want this conflict resolution training. Can the school district offer this? Most of my colleagues I know would be very excited and thrilled if the community was like, please teach us these strategies. We would be very excited to do that. So I think a big part of it is just advocacy to talk to your school districts and make it a team effort and not a, this is on you, this is on them, but hey, this is us. Community sports, youth sports is a reflection of our community, and it's not going to work if we don't all talk together.
What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I think the more that we can come together as a community, the better it's going to be, because the end of the day in the sports, the team is the representative of the community in the educational world, most times. And so when a team has a bad reputation of behavior, then that causes several different issues. And so if we can come together and have a positive outlook on what our team represents and our crowd represents, then it makes it such a great experience for the kids.
Is there anything CHASA does for officials as a kind of a peer support? I mean, again, going back to my experience as a parent of a kid who played youth soccer, I would watch the three officials, you know, referee, lines people, kind of do a little huddle after the game. And I always thought that looked like a really healthy thing. I wasn't privy to what was specifically being said, but I assume that the ref, as the head official, was kind of doing a little debrief and maybe helping the newer officials, who are often just older kids, right, kind of learn how to deal with it. Did you see, okay, that parent got really out of hand and here's how we handled it, and kind of a debrief that helps them learn while it's still fresh in their mind? Now, I know that's not the case for every game, and certainly small schools and different sports have only, you know, one official, but what I'm asking there is some kind of peer support that can help address and help officials learn how to deal better with these conflicts.
Yeah, absolutely. So we as officials in our organizations, we have meetings usually weekly to monthly to talk about these kinds of things. As the season progresses, obviously the topics become different, but a lot of them has to do with, I had this situation, how would you handle it? And the brotherhood and sisterhood that officials have is a very tight group. Whether we know each other or not, we know each other as officials. And so that kind of discussion happens before games, after games, the road trips, you know, to and from, we're always riding together and talking about those kinds of things. And so officials are a very tight-knit group, and we support that very much. And that's honestly one of the reasons that I became official, because I could see that. And that's one of the, I certainly enjoy that part of it very much. But that's kind of the common bond, is each other.
And is there a resource that you direct new officials to? Like, I'm thinking maybe there's someone listening who, you know, a parent who's going to help out as an official, or maybe there's a young person who's going to get into it because they love the game so much. Is there like a guidebook to officiating that not a rule book I'm talking about, but, you know, how to handle the jerk parent, you know, kind of?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of resources, but the best resource is if somebody's interested in getting into officiating, they can contact me or Monica Tillman at my office, and we'll get you in contact with that sport's area director or assigner. And really from that point, that area director, then they have the training for their sport and for their area in which they work in. And they will take that official and take them through the training and everything that they need to know. So really, the biggest thing is a matter of, I think I want to do it, I might want to get into it, just taking that step to say, hey, I'd like to direct me in the right way, and Monica and I will certainly get them to the right person to get them started.
And as part of that training in conflict.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. And in fact, I mean, we talk all the time about plays and positioning and that kind of thing, but the bulk of the conversation has to be, how do I handle, and you know, we go to camps and stuff to learn in the summer, and a lot of the questions and the conversations at camps are directed to, what do I say to a coach to mitigate this, or how do I handle, you know, the crowd or whatever. And so there's never this is the answer. It's always a philosophy, and every situation's different. But the end of the story is that you have tools in your sport to be able to mitigate that, and it's just having the confidence to be able to use it when you need it to prevent some of those things.
And at the end of the day, it is on the school to be enforcing those if a parent is getting out of hand.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Dr. Greyer, a question. When you deal with parents, rather than not just the kids who are experiencing conflict, but I am assuming that sometimes that this happens with the parents, how do you manage that with parents? And what is your role as a school psychologist? How are you able to do that? Or are you?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think one of our big roles of mental health providers as schools is to connect families with the resources they need outside of the school. So that could be family counseling. It could be, you know, if they're food insecure, then where could we help with paying bills or food? If it's they want to get their child outside services, or we're like an occupational therapist, there might be a referral there. So we do a lot of connecting. And I think that when we have some parent conflict, really trying to understand, you know, most of the time, an adult or a kid, if someone's angry, having a hard time regulating their emotions, it probably means something else is going on. And just being there to listen and see, like, are you open to a different resource? Are you open to talking more about this? You know, our roles in schools are very specific to our job, is to help kids access their learning, right? And they can't do that if they have a lot of emotional pieces that are impacting their ability to learn. So some of those bigger conflicts, we really rely on our community and our partners. So I would say referrals, listening, hearing, and knowing that everyone's coming with their own story, their own reason why something's hard, why something's making them angry, why it's hard to be patient. And it's not something we'll fix in a conversation. But again, promoting that, the importance of wellness, the importance of mental health, the importance of talking about it, I think is a huge role we have as just advocates.
And that's a good place, I think, to conclude. Dr. Brittany Griert is a licensed psychologist and president of the Colorado Society of School Psychologists. If people want to find out more information about your work, how can they reach you?
Sure. You can email me at Brittany, Brittany, dot Greyer, Greyert, at gmail.com.
And we'll put that in the show information on KGNU's website. Thank you very much. And Michael Book, the Assistant Commissioner at the Colorado High School Activities Association, CHASA, we really appreciate you coming in this morning, Mike. If people want more information, you did encourage folks to reach out to you and your team. How can they do that? Remind us of that.
Yeah, so the best way is to email myself at M as in Mike, Book, B-O-O-K, at chasa.org, or Monica Tillman at M-T-I-L-L-M-A-N at chasa.org. And we will certainly respond and get you headed in the right direction.
Appreciate your time and your efforts to make youth sports a positive activity for everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Linda Newell, former state senator, co-host of the program, thank you. Thanks to Christian for handling the phones, and we appreciate our callers as well. We're here about once a quarter talking about different conflict resolution topics on listener-supported KGNU, where the Morning Sound Alternative is coming your way. Indra is here to bring you a beautiful morning of music. After these announcements, stay tuned.